It's time for our Budweiser From the Sideline segment, as always presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, the perfect location for that game day snack, as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telitz. John, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Rock? Everything good on your end?
Oh, yeah. Not doing too bad at all. And I'd say the Cleveland Browns aren't in too bad of a shape either. A disappointing entry into the bye week, but I'd say coming out of it, things are looking better. Some good news this week. Likely expecting the return of Nick Chubb and Wyatt Teller to the field. Austin Hooper is expected back. John, the second half of this schedule kind of lightens up for the Brown and Orange. It should be a very interesting second half push from this team.
You know, I'm really looking forward to, and I know nothing's official on Chubb and Teller. Mm-hmm. And in fact, on Wednesday, Kevin Stefanski said it's going to be a day-to-day thing as they check to see how guys react from their practices and so on and so forth. But all indications heading in that direction. But, you know, it's almost like a package deal, Chubb and Teller. Teller got a great reputation. It's so funny. This was a position that everybody was like, who's going to play right guard? Oh, my gosh, you know. And one of the guys opted out for the season, wasn't even in the mix to fight for a job. And then there is this guy named Wyatt Teller, who they traded for a year ago and, you know, played some but wasn't, you know, super much of a factor per se, and thought to be one of the weaker links, if you will, on the offensive line. And all he has done since he started playing before he got hurt was grade out super high among all guards in the league. If you follow Pro Football Focus and a lot of their analytics and that type of stuff. And it's not just the numbers that he's shown, Rocco. It's, you know, in terms of his grades, you know, how well he grades out each week. It's how well they ran the football when he was leading the way. You know, the Hooper called him my road grader. You know, this is the guy that just, you know, takes people down, and he's got a nastiness to him. So that gives them kind of a, you know, an edge, an attitude edge. So this guy's, and it's kind of funny because he's got the nasty edge and probably more gregarious than the quiet, never say boo running back who's just one of the top three running backs in football in Nick Chubb. So if you get both of those guys back, and you're able to run the football, which they should be able to do against the Texans, then that's a nice way to start off coming back from the bye. And Hooper is unheralded by the things that he does to help the running game. You always think about, you know, how many passes is he going to catch? Is he going to be as productive as he was when he was a Falcon? Well, probably not in that regard. But in this scheme of things and how well fits in as one of those solid pieces in the offensive line and also his duties as a blocker and going out and catching passes, this will be a nice threesome if all are able to suit up on Sunday to have both Chubb Teller and Austin Hooper back on the offensive side of the ball. Kind of make up a little bit for, you know, for not having OBJ.
I'm glad you mentioned Hooper and what he brings to this offense, because I think, you know, a lazy take on him is people see the receiving numbers and it's not what it was in Atlanta, and people think, oh my gosh, he's not contributing to this team. But, you know, he does. He does so many more things, like in the run game, and it'll be very nice to have him back. And, you know, if they do decide to utilize him more in the red zone, that's an area of improvement for Baker Mayfield this year so far. I know you sent me some numbers before we started here today.
Yep.
You know, again, the red zone for Baker Mayfield, much improved this season.
It really has. Now, back a year ago when we were wondering, where did Baker Mayfield go? Where's that second half of his rookie season quarterback? And we know a lot of things were going into Baker's regression, if you will, a year ago under Freddie Kitchens and just not being productive. And that was in that red zone. He was only completing 40% of his passes in 2019. He did have 15 touchdowns, 3 picks this year. His percentage completion is ridiculous. I mean, it's like 64% in the red zone, already with 13 touchdowns. He just looks so much more confident when they're down on the doorstep and no picks for Baker Mayfield in the red zone. So an obvious improvement down there, and they've been down there, obviously, much more this year with that run game, able to get them to the doorstep and going in. So that's a nice combination because Hooper's been involved in being productive, catching touchdown passes. Same thing for Harrison Bryant and even David Njoku, as we have seen in a couple of games that he has been back. So that will be nice to have pretty much the full complement of those tight ends there in the lineup.
John Telich, our guest here on our Budweiser from the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, I know you texted me beforehand here saying it's time for special teams to make a difference. What are you hoping for specifically from that unit? Is it better field positioning? Is it more explosive plays like a punt return for a touchdown, something like that? What are you looking for there?
Yeah, I'm thinking that you know, they've a couple of occasions they've had a chance to break something. I know when Donovan Peoples-Jones was doing some punt returns, he had a couple of instances there where he may have been able to break something. But that's what they need. They you know, all the years that they had Josh Cribbs here and the incredible play that he had, they couldn't really capitalize on it. They were just so bad in so many other areas. It would be such a great, you know, cherry on top of the pie for them to be able to bust out a long return every once in a while for them in the return game to complement how the offense has played overall this year. And then obviously the defense has a ways to go, but still, this is what they need. So it's the onus is upon them to either, you know, cause a fumble on a return, to pick up a fumble and return it into the end zone, or to spring one of the return guys for a long kickoff and or punt return. And I think, you know, initially a lot of times we saw Donovan Peoples-Jones returning kicks from out of the end zone and getting to like maybe the 20-yard line. There have been a couple of instances where he's getting close, and I don't know if they change things up there and move people around. That's certainly Mike Prefer's call, but they've got to make some kind of an impact in that regard.
Dare I say a phone call to one Mr. Damian Sheehy Giuseppe could be in order, John Telich? I mean, come on. That was one of the more fun plays. What was that, last preseason he did that? Obviously, because it wasn't one this year. But
yeah, that was last year. That was the guy that leapt outside the facility.
Yeah.
And, you know, and basically BS'd his way into having an opportunity that he made the most of, at least as far as
sure.
He could take it.
Yeah, great moment there and a great story for that young man, no doubt about it. John, I wanted to move to the defense here. Another interesting number that you shot me here, the defense giving up the third most receptions to tight ends amongst other defenses in the league. How do you improve in that area moving forward?
Well, they've had Ronnie Harrison back there playing safety, and maybe that can be an improvement. Malcolm Smith is good covering guys either out of the backfield or tight end, so you continue along those lines. That's just an area they have to shore up. And I think that's coming from, as well, having a lot of the injuries that they had this year and also implementing the new look, the new things that they've been trying to do on the defensive side of the ball with Joe Wood. So they're halfway through the year. You know, it's time to really show more production on the defensive side of the ball. Now, two Sundays ago, the weather was kind of like the factor in that game that really caused things to be a little out of whack, but they did hold the visitors to 16 points. And I guess you could say maybe that's one of those aspects of your growth as a defense that you can look to. Let's see if they can do it this week, but there's a whole different element that they're going to be dealing with. And that, of course, is Deshaun Watson, trying to keep him under wraps.
Well, let's talk about those Houston Texans, John, because I think they've been one of the most, underwhelming, disappointing teams this season.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, they were overhyped moving in. Maybe this isn't too much of a surprise for some. I don't know, but they have very much surprised me in a disappointing way. How do you evaluate this year's Texans squad?
Yeah, they have been very disappointing, and I think the disappointment goes back to that ill-advised trade that Bill O'Brien made when he got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. What were you thinking?
Uh-huh.
Which he did, and so there they are. They've got, you know, people like Brandon Cooks catching footballs for him and what have you. Johnson, who they got in the trade, I understand he had a concussion a week ago, so we're not certain about his availability this week. But Watson... And on Wednesday in his Zoom call, Coach Stefanski could not say enough great things about what Deshaun Watson can do to be disruptive. We've seen it. I still think of that playoff game a year or so ago when he was in the grasp of just about 90 people and somehow escaped. that's the essence of what Deshaun Watson can do. We saw him do it at Clemson. We're seeing him do it in the NFL. So you have to really, Rocco, you've got to respect all that he can do. This will be a big test and a big a chore for the Browns defense to get to him, or in the very best, just to contain him, not allow him to escape and make plays with his feet, because he can be so disruptive. I love to watch this kid play, and Stefanski was saying as well, when you watch the tape of him, it just jumps out at you. His throwing ability, all the different arm angles, the strength, the elusiveness, running the football or finding a space in order to throw the football from, arm angles, all that type of stuff. He just loves Watson, and I don't think he was just saying that for media consumption. This kid is really good, and so a big test for the defense to see if they can keep him down without hurting them that much.
Yeah, from a record standpoint, Houston doesn't, you know, look certainly very competitive, but Deshaun Watson, I've seen them a couple times this year, and he has, you know, single-handedly kept them in a lot of football games this season, so certainly a tall task for the Cleveland Browns defense to try and stop him. JT, we can close on this, man. Any chance COVID-19, that is, kind of spoils the second half of this NFL season or changes any things moving forward? I know there were some rumblings on Tuesday about potentially adding a playoff team.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of those, almost jokingly say, you know, in case of emergency, you know, break glass type of a thing. And I think they have it there. There could be eight teams in each conference that make the playoffs, but this would be something I think they will enact only if things get way out of line with teams having to, you know, postpone games, or maybe them having to add another week to the season in order to get all the games in. So at this moment, you know, the Browns have, they're the eighth seed. And as we stand here right now, there's only seven teams in each conference that's going to make the playoffs. So the Browns' second half of the season schedule certainly will help them move up into the top seven, if you will. But they didn't do themselves any favors when they lost to the Raiders, because if it comes down to tiebreakers there, then that's not going to help them. But I think the league, they from the get-go said, we're playing football, you know, and they did have the benefit of being a league that had a lot of lead time up to when things really got busy for them, because COVID hit in March or early March, and they were already done with their combine. The next thing on their agenda was the draft, which they did, virtually. And so I think they're not going to let COVID break any of their plans to get this season in, to crown a Super Bowl champion, to get through with all the playoff games and all the way up to the Super Bowl. So that's why that extra team per conference may come into play. Yet again, I think they're crossing their fingers and toes and hoping that they don't have to get that, because that would signify to them, and at least to me in my thinking, that the league has handled COVID pretty well. Like just most recent, you had Baker, you know, was in quarantine or isolation for 5 days. He came out of it fine. He's practicing. He's playing this week. The same thing's going on in Pittsburgh, but the tighter protocols are in place right now. Players have to wear those Oakley face shields in practice. Mac Wilson said on Monday that I don't like that, but yet, you know, these may be the things that they're going to have to have as their new norm, at least till we get out of the throes of COVID-19 and what it's done to this country and this world.
Well, hopefully the winter isn't too vicious for us, and hopefully, you know, like you said, we are able to get through this NFL season. And the NFL, again, like you said, John, they are pretty determined to not let this thing come to an end, and hopefully they don't have to pull out that extra playoff team and all of that. So thank you for the insight. As always, John, we'll see how this Texans game goes on Sunday, and we'll break it down next week.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you guys then. Thanks, Rocco.